Hi, welcome to the Cosa Nostra. I'm Eddie.
Oh.
In sync.
Okay, let's start that again.
No, keep it in, it's fine.
Okay. yeah, remove that in the editing.
So,
okay.
Cut that in post. So, today we're doing 2018's mid-90s. Okay. Oh. Directed by Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Starring Sonny
Written by Jonah Hill.
Written and directed by Jonah Hill. Mm-hmm. Starring Sonny Sujik, Olin Pranat, Ryder McLaughlin, Lucas Hedges, and Mikkel Smith, along with Catherine Waterston. And
do you want to have another crack at that name? Do you want to have another crack at that?
Ryder McLaughlin.
McLaughlin.
He's Irish American. Okay. So they play respectively Stevie, fourth grade. Ian, Ray, Teresa, and Dabney. So, first time you watched this movie was a day ago?
Last week, basically. Basically today, last week, essentially. And I'd heard of this movie before. You know, especially like on Letterboxd and stuff like that. You kind of find that movie
It's a
there.
Very famous movie, but I feel like not that many people
It's very famous for like... Well, obviously for people who grew up in the 90s.
That's also, probably for Jonah Hill's slightly controversial comments on the film.
I haven't heard.
What he said, A24. It's A24 says it's my turn to use various language. But
yeah, that was... I'll just get into it now. That was something I was just thinking. Like, everybody gives, like, Tarantino heat for, like, using certain words in his movies. I've never... It's so weird that I never hear any heat for Jonah Hill.
Yeah, this movie...
And it's like, it's written by obscene. Jonah Hill as well,
this movie's obscene, yeah. Essentially. As a quick, like, in case you haven't seen it, although if you haven't seen it, I don't know why you're listening to this. But yeah, this movie is, like, quite, you know, explicit in language, which I don't have a problem with personally, purely because it's
It's how I felt about Full Metal Jacket when we did that one.
Like, it's like, yeah. That is realistic to the language.
Yeah, that's what they'd say, but it's like, my... issue, and yeah, it's the Tarantino thing as well, where it's like, oh, this guy uses like homophobic and racial and like slurs in his movie while not being part of like any of that himself, you know. And also like the scene of just like the scene where like what's the kid's name, I'm sorry, Sunburn.
Where it's
like, you know, at the party,
our main character
at the party, where it's like, how do I put this lightly?
He gets abused.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't really know how to say that, but like essentially, yeah. And it was just like it was a scene that treated it very.
There's some
weirdly.
Yeah, some quite concerning stuff in this, but it doesn't feel unrealistic, which I guess is kind of the gross part of it, is that it's kind of realistic.
It's great.
I mean, what does it say? Performances are interestingly. In almost every actor in this film that is a skateboarder was a skateboarder, not an actor. And Jonah Hill said that he wanted to make skateboarders actors, not actors skateboarders. So Sonny Sujik is a skateboarder. He's also now an actor based on his like role in this film. But he was a skateboarder originally. Olin Prenat, also a skateboarder. Ryder McLaughlin is more of an actor, but he did skateboard a bit. All these guys are the most successful one, Mikkel Smith, who plays Ray, who's the main skateboarder of the friend group, is a real skateboarder, like very successful. He's made multiple skateboarding movies for Supreme. He's mainly Supreme, so Cherry and Blessed and Away Days are quite famous for. But I mean, he raps a bit as well, but he's mainly a skateboarder. He apparently worked with Odd Future. Didn't know that. So there's your Tyler, the Creator link.
Oh, there we go.
Who was famously seen on set for this film. Because
really?
If you didn't know that, fun fact, guys, he was on set for this film. So directed by Jonah Hill. I think this is his only...
music feels very 90s, I just want to say.
Who? Tyler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does.
He's a cool guy.
Especially someone like the promotional pictures for stuff.
He really
If I didn't know who Tyler, the Creator was, I would think they came
He really
from the
loves 90s. Jamiroquai. I never knew this. Yeah. Jamiroquai, famous 90s English acid jazz band. Were like a big influence on his music, and I kind of hear it.
That's how I always felt. Jonah Hill
directs this movie.
Yeah, this is as insane as when I found out like Leonard Nimoy directed Three Men and a Baby, like freaking like Spock directed that, and it just shows that like everybody kind of has like this and I've always like fell victim to it as well. People have like this parasocial relationship with like celebrities, thinking that, oh yeah, we know them, we know everything about them. But you don't. Like, I would never have thought that the guy from like Superbad or 21 Jump Street like
would make such a good movie,
and like a deeply introspective movie. Not to give shade to those movies, but it's like, I don't expect the guy from This Is The End
says, get off me, you bum, and throws a beer at someone.
I know, it's, yeah.
Then make one of, I think, 2018's best movies.
I can't remember what 2018 was really, like for movies.
You know, really introspective, yeah. Very well shot. Like, considering the only other stuff he's really directed is a documentary called Stutz and Travis Scott's music video for Wake Up.
That's new. I didn't know that.
He's kind of done nothing. I mean, it's really, really well done.
Yeah, but he's produced, if you saw it last year, Y2K.
I didn't. Apparently, it's quite mid.
Yeah, apparently it's quite mid, but it looks interesting. Again, another time capsule of, like, the very, very late 90s. And, again, Jonah Hill was born in 1983. So his childhood was
90s.
Basically, yeah, that mid-90s.
So 2018, very quickly, just to wrap that up. In terms of movies that came out this year, we've got...
I know Spider-Verse did. That's all I can remember.
Yeah, we've got movies like Skyscraper, which was pretty awful.
Is that the one with The Rock?
With The Rock, yeah. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you've got First Man by Damien Chazelle came out that year. Beautiful Boy came out that year. Skin came out that year. Sicario came out that year. Fun fact, I didn't know that. Under the Silver Lake came out that year, which very mixed.
If you saw it, like A Star Is Born, the fourth remake of that movie? I don't know. Bohemian Rhapsody.
So this was the 90th Academy Awards for this.
Have you seen the montage they did for the 90th Academy Awards?
Movies, pretty cool. Movies this year, Shape of Water, Call Me By Your Name, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread.
I love Dogs.
The Post. Shape of Water won that year, actually. Really?
Oh, for Best Picture?
For Best Picture,
You're kidding. I didn't even know that. That's cool. Jeez.
I, Tonya. Mm. So quite a lot of...
Honestly, from what I'm looking at, it's a pretty mixed bag year. Probably leaning towards the negative. There's a lot of, like... Not very good stuff.
Although I don't know if it would have been considered in the 91st Oscars. Otherwise, you've got Green Book, Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favourite, A Star Is Born.
Crazy Rich Asians.
Roma. Vice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this movie won anything. I think it was...
No, but this was before the time where
I think this was quite a lot, quite overlooked.
No, but this was before the time A24 was like...
Yeah, box office. Yeah. It only made $200,000 from 4 theatres in the opening weekend.
But it made $9 million in total.
In total, it made... In the third weekend, it made... So overall, 9.3. But it was only opened in 4 theatres. So I don't think they felt really great about this movie when it came out.
No, but it's like... It's an indie movie. It's not having the same opening as like Black Panther or something like that.
I mean,
can I just say,
actually, win it was nominated for like very minor awards.
Mm-hmm.
It won an NBR award.
But again, this was before like A24. Any A24 genuinely started taking off, you know. But like this, can I just say, this movie looks better than 99% of blockbusters coming out today.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
And it's made on like a fraction of
especially
what
especially these shots with going down the freeway. I'm like obsessed with them. Especially, first time they do that, they're playing Pixies' Wave of Mutilation, but the UK Surf Edition, so it's slowed down. And it's this like slow, like Pixies music with this really cool freeway shot.
Yeah. This movie, again, it's so weird because it's weird that I'm just formed for it, but I guess, like, listening to the podcast, you'd probably know by now by some of the films I've chosen that I'm pretty fond of the 1990s, you know? I think I chose Space Jam as well, which is one of the most 1990 movies ever made. All time.
And this is a close second.
Yeah, and, like, this movie, it's, like, it paints a picture of a time that I don't know, I don't remember, but it's just, I'm very fond of that kind of aesthetic. Like, some of the things in this movie where it's, like, oh, he has like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle bed sheets. You don't see that. He has like a plush of Hulk Hogan.
Also, everyone just like drinks out of cartons bottles.
And it's like, was that a
thing? I don't know if that was a thing. That was like kind of weird.
Is that a thing?
Everyone just carried around milk jugs with them. Just like,
I know. Vibe. But it's just like, it just like paints a picture of a time that I don't know. I don't remember, but it's just really cool.
It feels nostalgic.
Yeah. And it's, again, like, when I saw that plush of Hulk Hogan, like, I don't remember a time where everybody actually, even like growing up, I don't remember people having plushes of like John Cena or something like that.
Yeah, like that's very 90s.
I guess,
I think,
rest in peace, Hogan.
The biggest complaint anyone's gonna have with this movie that I really don't have, but a lot of people would have, is that not much really happens.
Yeah, but it's a chill movie. Like,
it's probably the best movie to watch. Like, just for fun. It's really comforting.
And I think there should be more chill movies. I don't need constant things happening.
That being said, the plot is, I find, very, interesting, quite, it's pretty deep. And I also think it's just fun to watch. Like, the scene where he tries to ollie over a rooftop and, like, gets absolutely wiped by a, like, kitchen table. That was so cool.
No, it's how the music just, like, cuts.
Yeah, so you've got him, like, riding down this rooftop. Everyone's like, whoa, you're not going fast enough. Whoa. And the music's, like, building up. And then he fails to ollie, and the music just cuts. Dead cut.
Yeah, that was funny.
And you
funny.
Just hear, like, a Gwen Stacy kind of, like, smack on the table. And they're like, oh, is he dead?
Yeah.
And then, like, he just gets back up, and he starts smiling. And it's like, what the
Can
hell?
Can I just say, like, he was, like, what's his name? The kid. The other kid.
Samba. Oh, he's so not Ruben. So annoying.
No, because like, okay.
He's so
weird. On paper, it could work. On paper, it could work, okay? But in execution, it's like, I'm not sure if this is like a symptom of the movie's just like really, really short runtime, but it's like, they give no time for like this guy to actually grow in like terms of how he has like this growing hatred for Sunburn. So in like the second scene he's in, he's already like, I hate that guy. And it's like, what? Can we just like progression? And I think it probably is a symptom of this movie just having to like get through things all the time.
Like, I do like that it's short, because movies in the 90s were short like that. And it's
I don't know. Like,
it's also shot like a 90s. It's intended to shoot like one. So the aspect ratio is 4x3.
Something was really cool. And I like doing this with like 4x3 shows or movies when it's like, I'm watching the movie, it's in 4x3. And it's like, I just put hands over the bars. And when I did that, it just straight up looked like a normal 90s movie. Like, you should try it. Like, try watch the movie. Put your hands over the black bars. And it just looked like I was watching a movie from the 90s. And I just realized. And I know it takes so much more effort to do this, but movies should just be shot on 60mm, man. Movies should just be shot on film.
35mm does look very
cool. I know. But
shoot in film, I think is what we're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Who the hell is shooting in digital? Like,
I know it's a lot easier because, like, I understand that digital's a lot easier, but
you're never gonna have when you die and then they search your house and they find a whole movie that was never released on pure film. That's so cool.
There's something about it, and it's just like.
And I mean, I think cinema's dying, and it's because we're losing the things that make it an art.
Yeah, it's not okay when I'm looking at a movie and I'm thinking like. Yes, this could just appear. This could be like a Netflix TV show.
Yeah, like. There's a movie, a lot of movies now are suffering from, it's technically a fan movie, so I don't know if it counts, but do any of you know about Spider-Man Lotus?
No.
So that's a fan-backed movie, really, really controversial because the making of it was so bad. But when you're watching it, it's shot digitally. It looks like a Netflix TV show. It lacks any colour, all the lighting is clearly artificial. The sets seem, like, poorly put together. And a lot of movies suffer from that.
That's how I feel about a lot of Marvel movies.
You're looking at Wicked.
Yeah. It's not okay when I'm watching Wicked. This, like, $200 million movie, and I'm thinking, yes, this looks like Medea's Destination Wedding. It is not
okay. Wicked looks like someone drew it with a highlighter. It actually hurts my eyes.
And, like, this isn't even an opinion. Like, I was watching this video, and it's like...
And I get that if you do that, you can use, like... Adobe Photoshop to edit your film, and it's so much easier.
Yeah.
But, like, Oh, God.
And I was watching this.
200 million. You can just at least buy some
and
film.
And it's crazy. It, like, I was watching this video about, it was comparing Wicked, and it was like, it was this video about, like, how simple movies, the movie he used to show the difference between film and digital was Wicked and the 1998 Parent Trap. And it is kind of night and day. That movie, which has, like, I think, like, a $20 million budget, looks like it costs, like, $1 million more than this, like, $200 million movie. Because film just looks more... It looks... It really just looks like it's there. I think that's the thing. It just really looks like it's there. And I just feel like the cinematography... It doesn't even matter how well you're shooting the movie, you know? It doesn't even matter how good the director is. Like, again, I saw an article comparing Beetlejuice to the original Beetlejuice and just comparing the two, you know? And the original just looks better because it was just shot on film. I can't even explain why. I can't explain what it is, but it just feels more genuine. And it was really cool to see this movie made in 2018. This time when it's amazing. Like, yeah, like you're in the midst of like Marvel and stuff like that, you know, DC, where it's like all digital and it's just like, it looks like a movie that came out 30 years ago. That was really cool.
Quick like thing. So the music for this film, obviously the playlist is amazing. The soundtrack.
Yeah.
The actual music made for this film is by our friends Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor, who seem to have done almost every single movie we do on here. I mean, these guys do an amazing job on this film, but, you know, I don't think they've really done any bad, like, bad movies. They just are really good at what they do. Like, I mean, they've done...
Well, what do they do?
Social Network, Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, Gone Girl. They've done Before the Flood. They did Mid-90s. They did Bird Box, Waves, Soul, Mank, Bones and All, Empire of Light, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Mayhem, they helped on, apparently.
I haven't seen that movie, but I've heard good
the
things
Killer,
about it.
They did. Mm-hmm. Challengers, Queer, The Gorge.
So they did a lot of, like,
amazing
A24.
Movies. A24 and David Fincher, they tend to work with. Obviously, these guys made up Nine Inch Nails, for those who somehow didn't know that. I don't actually listen to a lot of Nine Inch Nails, but they're apparently supposed to be quite good. I don't know if they're down the same lines as LCD Sound System, but just really aggressive.
Yeah.
But probably more like Loveless, I imagine.
Yeah.
In that kind of run. But yeah, they do an amazing job on this film.
Yeah, definitely.
Seth Rogen put together such a good playlist. Mm-hmm.
In the restaurant scene, seeing they were playing Kiss from a Rose, and I was like, this guy knows we got to get to Batman Forever at some point.
Also, I think there's some key scenes we have to talk about purely because they're really, really good. So we've talked about the roof scene. I think one of the nicest scenes that showed child in the 90s is when they break into the school and a security guard tells them they need Jesus. And then
you need Jesus.
And then all of the kids are just screaming, no, you bum, get a job, you bum. And it's like they're just throwing rocks at him. Like, that's just a sweet, nice childhood moment. So cute.
Did you ever find out what game he was playing?
No. I still don't know.
I have to check. He was playing on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. I've always been a Sega boy, all right? I've always been Sega, so I'm like, you should have been on that Genesis. Definitely.
He also does... also, this scene, the car crash scene, I think, is important to talk about.
Yeah, I think that was done. That was done really well.
That was so good. They just, like, got totaled. Absolutely.
It's just how it was. Again, this is like editing. It was really editing here, you know. I think the editing was so good for that scene.
Who is the editor on this film?
Can you check?
Yeah.
I need to find out. Like,
the editor for this film was Nick Hoy, who has also done Lady Bird.
Lady Bird.
Barbie as well. Little Women.
Also, he's done a lot of...
Greta Gerwig stuff.
Yeah.
And A24. Yeah. I mean, he does a sensational job.
Yeah, and like... okay, one of my issues with the movie, and it's like the ending of the movie is like where I feel the third act would begin.
Yeah, I think the one issue with this film is that there is a very clear happy and sad side. There's happy side, where it's like all is well and he's getting into skateboarding and it's cool. And then sad side is like he gets addicted to like marijuana and he gets addicted to alcohol and it's all like downhill. And I'm like, dude, this kid is like 13 and he's like on hard drugs.
I know, like, and it's just like
he's like.
But that wasn't even the issue for me. It's like I was kind of like, and this was a fair enough comparison. I was comparing it to Waves, where it's like I just felt like the ending of the movie would just be where the third act would actually begin. Yeah. Where like everybody, again, I'm not saying happy ending. We should always do happy endings, but like.
Yeah, but I think we do need to talk about the ending because I think a lot of people like kind of might not understand the ending. The ending is he's in the hospital post car crash,
mm-hmm.
and his family are there. But then his chosen family, if you want, the skateboarding people, wait for him, and they like.
Pretty crap, you know, family. I'm just gonna say like.
Yeah, his real family. So bad.
No, I'm saying the kids are definitely worse. I mean, like the bit where he's well, okay, fair enough. The bit where somebody's trying to strangle himself and with that like was the cord, really weird. And like the mom just like isn't there. Like what? I guess it's because like that bit where like the guy comes out of her room, like she's probably like busy or something. I don't know, but it's just like
busy.
Yeah, getting busy, but like it's like. It's just like, where is she? What is happening?
Yeah, the mum was just low-key not in this movie ever. And then she gets really depressed and sad. And then like, there's
I don't know
the
what
car,
you really expected.
And he just, like, screams at her. He just, like, shouts. He's like, get out of my face! Get out of my face! And he's just, like, shouting at his mum. And it's like, what the hell?
I know.
That's, like, crazy. But then, to be fair, it's like, I don't know. It's really well, I don't really know what else to say. Yeah, on that point.
It kind of, like...
But yeah, so this ending is, like, the chosen family come, yeah. And, like...
And then
it's just cool. First of all, it looks so cool, the shot of them all on the bed. You know,
yeah.
Where they're all, like, gathered around him, and they're all in their really cool outfits, like...
Yeah, 90s. Again, 90s was a peak of just, like, drip, honestly.
I really think the ending of this film isn't bad. I think it's probably the best
ending. I think it's bad. I just think it's really abrupt and, like...
I think that's intentional. I think it's a really cool ending scene. And I think it looks really cool. And I think the whole thing is very good. And then, of course, you get one of the coolest endings, the coolest bits, which is when fourth grade goes, do you guys want to see something cool? And then he whips out this home movie he's made of them skateboarding to the Pharisees' song, Passing Me By, which is so cool. It's so good. Just it goes so well with this music video.
Oh, well, what's the song called?
Pass Me by the Pharisees. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Oh, yeah, and, like, that bit is short on digital.
Pharisee.
Cool. That bit is short on digital.
Is it?
Yeah, like, those old, like, digi cameras.
Yeah, but then it still 90s. Works, you know?
Yeah, no, because they're going for, like, I don't know. Again, I don't know that word, but I think it's, like, that kind of, like, Tony Hawk, like, kind of, like, thing. I mean, you probably know better than me, but it's like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's that.
VHS.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't even, I didn't feel it was even VHS. It's just straight up like.
It's based off skate films. So yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if you know anything about skate films.
Yeah, all I know is like that those Tony Hawk games from like the late 90s, I guess.
So they were very successful in the 90s. So if we take the example in the Kel Smith movie, which is Cherry by Supreme, it's a chance for the brand to show off what they like make, you know, and then it's a chance for the skateboarders to do tricks. And essentially the idea was if you liked it, you could go to skate shops, you could buy your CD or VHS, whatever you have, and you would watch these skaters just like skate basically, and there'd be interviews and stuff, and it was just like basically it was culture in a like, you know. It was just, yeah, culture as a VHS.
Oh, yeah.
And so this film is kind of like all of the culture kind of like amalgamated.
Yeah. So, yeah.
In this film.
I know this is just like the epitome. If it wasn't for Space Jam, I think this is just like definitely the most biggest representation of what the 1990s were like.
But I think it's nice because it doesn't glorify it. It just also it doesn't. It's just honest about it.
It is honest of like what it's like. And you know, again, it's weird to be nostalgic for a time you were never like there for. But like, it's just cool, man. Like, I don't know. I guess it's because, like, most of my favorite things from, like, media are from the 90s, but... Or at the very least, like, late 80s.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, what are you giving this movie out of?
Are we wrapping up?
Yeah.
Anything left to say? Well, yeah, I mean...
Do you have anything else? I think the game they were playing was Street Fighter 2.
Fighter 2, yeah.
That's what I've
I just think it's really well acted all around. Yeah. It's very well shot. It's very well cinematographed. Soundtrack's great. I don't think there's any actual problems with this film. And for that, I give it a 5. I don't think there's any... It's one of my favourite movies. I don't think it overcomplicates things. I think a lot of movies nowadays overcomplicate things.
Yeah, this is pretty, like...
It's really... It's as simple as it needs to be, but it tells the story it needs to tell. It's not too long. The skateboarding is sick.
Yeah.
It's just so cool.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was on VHS.
Mini DV.
Yeah. So, if I don't know, like, if people actually still know what VHS is, so I... Do I explain it? Or, like, are we good?
Shot on tape, yeah.
Yeah, are we good? I don't need to explain what VHS
Surely
is.
Surely you know what VHS is.
No, I'm just like,
Surely
people
they
do,
know what VHS
I don't,
is.
I genuinely don't know. Like, I'm scared people don't know what DVDs anymore.
Oh,
like,
my God.
You know, like, what's a CD? What's a compact disc? You know, I genuinely don't think anybody under the age of, like, 12 probably knows what DVD is. That's
really scary.
That is scary.
Well, yeah, so I'd be really scared if you don't know what VHS is, but it's essentially...
The 90s were 30 years ago now.
It's essentially cassette tapes, but for video. If you don't know what a cassette tape is...
Yeah, you have to explain what a cassette tape is.
If you don't know
now.
What a cassette tape
is... It's the thing Star-Lord was using in Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's what the album cover for the OK Not OK extras is on Radiohead, for those who know. For those who know, you know. Or if you don't know what it is, just Google it, for God's... Like, just Google it. So, yeah, I'm giving it a 5.
Can I just say, I remember the first time I saw, like, a VHS tape, I just kind of...
Oh, my God,
I think it was the one for, like, Toy Story, and I was just like, what the hell, they're real?
First one I saw was the movie where Robin Williams, a doctor...
Patch Adams.
Patch Adams in my dad's, in the attic of my house.
Get as far away as from that
box.
Movie as you can.
It's just so random. And there was the Winnie the Pooh stories. I think there was a chance I used to watch them because we still have the VHS player. I don't remember that, but they're there. So, you know, maybe. But yeah, it's a 5 for me.
It's a 4.5 because, again, I do have issues with it. Like, I do, but it is a good movie and it's just
Have we had a perfect film?
No. Unless it's like The Godfather, then like...
Anything else? That isn't Social Network? Did we give that 5?
No, I think I gave that 4.5.
I just really like this movie, I think.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. And it's more movies should just, like, be shot on film. Just, please. I haven't actually gone to the logistics of if it's actually harder or not, but I'm going to guess it is a lot harder just to shoot on film. But honestly, what was Sinners shot on? 35?
Yes.
35 millimeter. And that's the last one, like, in the 2020s that I can actually think of that was shot on film. But it's like, you know, movie studios shouldn't be afraid of, like, people seeing, like, film grain or, like, stuff like that. It's okay? It's not a bad thing to have people know that this is a film, all right? That's good.
Well, I think that's kind of everything, to be honest. I really hope you guys go and watch this film. I think it's on Amazon. It's a banger.
Yeah.
Just get out there, watch that movie. It's just fun.
I know.
It's like Point Break. It's just fun. First time I saw this, I actually did a double picture of mid-90s followed up by Point Break, which is crazy.
That's 90s, very 90s-y.
Crazy. Yeah.
That's a 90s overload right there.
I told Noah this. I had like a whole afternoon, so I just watched I watched Point Break all the way through, then I had lunch, and then I got a liter bottle of coconut water and down the entire thing throughout mid-90s. And then I didn't really know what to do with myself, so I'm pretty sure I just like went to bed or something, but it was really good.
Yeah. Can I just say that if you look at TV shows, the ones that are shot on film always look better than the ones that are shot on digital. Like stuff like Friends and Seinfeld still look really good if you watch them on Netflix, but like if you watch TV shows that were shot on digital, they just don't look as good anymore. So shoot on film. If you can get it, it's great.
If you can, just another peeve, do double pictures, guys. I don't know why no one does this anymore. Like, it's
double pictures were a 90s thing. You go cinema hopping. You go like,
do double pictures. Like, just watch two movies together. Like, Barbenheimer was a cinematic experience, and, like, midbreak or something.
I don't think I've done a double picture since I watched. I don't know why I did this, but I watched, like, The Rescuers and The Gremlins on the same day. Odd pick, I know, but, like, if you can find two movies that are similar and,
not
like...
Not even that, like... Yeah, if you're going to watch this movie, take my advice. Do mid-break. Point break first.
Point 90s.
And then follow it up by mid-90s. And the entire bottle of coconut water is optional, but does enhance the experience. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.